And I read this one part on global warming about how they got, what was the first thing they did to get people to exterminate the Jews. Now, I'm not saying that anybody's going to, you know, Al Gore's not going to be rounding up Jews and exterminating them. It is the same tactic, however.
Lütken Quisling was the Norwegian traitor, the self-styled Führer for Hitler during World War II.
Oh, you must drive an SUV. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I need combat pay to work out here in L.A.
The start of fire season in America has moved from August to May. In fact, it is becoming year-round. The eastern half of the continent has already roasted in 90-degree weather. That's the 30s Celsius. It's been hotter earlier than in living memory. Europe is basking in August holiday weather instead of cool, damp spring. Australia continues its 10-year drought. Water supplying half the country's food crops may be shut off to feed the city of Adelaide. What better time for CNN, the most trusted name in news, to hire an anti-scientific buffoon to deny climate change in prime time? Who let radio host Glenn Beck out of the recovery meeting?
But what's the show about? Well, it's not like we're exactly inventing fire over here. It's just a stupid cable show hosted, quite honestly, with a middle-aged, you know, recovering alcoholic with absolutely no fashion sense.
Is CNN news or poison?
In Glenn Beck's deranged mind, Al Gore becomes Hitler, and mere facts threaten to dominate our lives.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change predicts global warming will bring water scarcity to over a billion people by 2080. At least 200 million will go hungry, and millions will be displaced by coastal flooding.
According to Christian Aid, 1 in 7 people on Earth may become environmental refugees.
Other studies worry hundreds of millions of people will die due to climate change.
Is this comedy? Glenn thinks so. He's promoting his upcoming cross-country entertainment extravaganza as an inconvenient tour. Anything to make a name, an association, and a buck out of the coming climate catastrophe. His own starship fading to black, Beck hopes to ride along with Al Gore. Ratings are a problem for the former news network. You remember CNN, the international news service with offices in dozens of countries? The service that introduced Americans to the invisible people outside their borders?
The most trusted name.
When news couldn't bring even 300,000 sets of eyes to the screen, parent company Time Warner apparently thought they could cash in on the multi-million dollar liberal bashing industry. They hauled Glenn Beck out of the radio farm team and turned him loose to hit African Americans, gays, and all foreigners, especially anyone from the Middle East. Like every patriotic American talk show host, Glenn loves the troops and spewed hatred in all directions. He was a little rough around the edges. Here's Glenn's first on-camera exchange with CNN's visiting journalist for the show.
Now for the credible portion of the program. Look at some of the stories in the news with an actual news person. Every night we'll be joined by Erica Hill, the anchor of Prime News on CNN Headline News, now at 6 o'clock Eastern. Her show started tonight just like this one.
That's right.
We're newbies.
It's a big night all around.
You are looking hot in leather.
Well, thank you, Beck. I'll be on your show every night just for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing leather pants right now.
Gorsh, just a down-home sexist. The show still stalled, even though it followed the endless child abduction stories by CNN host Nancy Grace. The Glenn Beck CNN slot is way down in the talk show rating list. So, like Rush Limbaugh before him, Glenn Beck has chosen the ever-lucrative trade of denying any American role in global warming and bashing Al Gore.
Ellen Goodman from the Boston Globe wrote, "Let's just say that global warming deniers are now on par with Holocaust deniers."
Somebody says that whenever you get into Nazi connections, you've really jumped the shark.
No Nazi references? But how would these people even form sentences? Even I got to jump into the World War II of weather. Robert F. Kennedy called me CNN's chief corporate fascism advocate. When asked why by the Washington Post, he recalled that I was voicing doubts about global warming a few weeks back.
When you have the science on your side, you argue the science. When you don't have the science on your side, you attack the messenger.
MSNBC pundit Keith Olbermann, who gets higher ratings, incidentally, finds Beck's frothing sick and sad.
Now, who could top that? CNN's Glenn Beck, our winner. He'll see your Goering reference, Lou, and raise you one Hitler reference. Quoting from his radio show, Al Gore is not going to be rounding up Jews and exterminating them. It is the same tactic, however. The goal is different. The goal is globalization. The goal is global carbon tax. The goal is the United Nations running the world. That is the goal. Back in the 1930s, the goal was get rid of all the Jews and have one global government. You've got to have an enemy to fight, and when you have an enemy to fight, then you can unite the entire world behind you and you seize power. That was Hitler's plan, his enemy, the Jew, Al Gore's enemy, the UN's enemy, global warming. Oh, Al Gore is the Hitler of global warming? Trying for world domination by lowering the carbon in car exhaust? I think Glennie has been inhaling those car exhausts again. Glenn Beck, today's worst person in the world.
But this is dangerous stuff. Even Beck wonders about himself.
You know, I feel a little guilty, and maybe we are causing this, so I'll just do what I have to do.
Listen closely. He says global warming is kind of cyclical, happens every 30 years or so. First of all, science and your own experience shows nothing of the sort. Beck is drawing from the admittedly distorted graph used in the British Denier film, The Great Global Warming Swindle. Martin Durkin's doctored graph showed a significant cooling for about 30 years or so in the 1970s. The reality is, the warming only slowed during that period, and science has since discovered why. The great cloud of particle pollution coming out of American and European factories and cars was blotting out part of the sun's rays. Meanwhile, the greenhouse gases just kept piling on up in the atmosphere. Then, with the Clean Air Act in the United States and similar anti-pollution legislation in Europe coming into force, the particle cloud was reduced. Starting in the late 1980s, the full power of the new levels of greenhouse gases started to be felt. The world temperature climbed and continues to go up. Due to the lag time involving the oceans, we are now just beginning to experience the warming from the late 1980s greenhouse gas levels. And our climate gas pollution has gone way, way up since then. The record levels of the early 2000 period, the continuing American expansion of greenhouse gas dumping, plus the addition of record black industrialization in China, India, and beyond, means the heat really hits around 2020 and grows ever more in the following decades and centuries. So Glenn's plain boy act is costing our children more than he can imagine. More humans will die from climate change than ever perished in the Nazi Holocaust. Of course, it's dangerous to make these comparisons. Beck says he won't.
No Nazi references? But how would these people even form sentences?
And then he does.
Jews. Now, I'm not saying that anybody's going to, you know, Al Gore's not going to be rounding up Jews and exterminating them. It is the same tactic, however.
In Canada, the leader of the Green Party, Elizabeth May, was roasted by the mainly pro-Israel media for even comparing climate change to the situation in Germany in the 1930s. May was only quoting the popular British journalist George Monbiot on climate change problems. But the largest single owners of Canadian media, which is highly concentrated, just helped fund a Holocaust museum in Canada, along with millions of dollars in taxpayers' money. Enough said. In Canada, thou shalt not use the word Holocaust to mean anything other than Jewish deaths in the last century. And perhaps that is fair enough for a horror worthy of its own particular name in history. Environmentalists don't have to use the word Holocaust to describe the coming catastrophe, but that doesn't forbid us from discussing the precedent of history. What was the Holocaust in part but the application of modern industry and bureaucracy to mass murder? Today, modern industry and bureaucracy are leading us toward mass murder again through climate change, and they are cheered on by Glenn Beck, no matter how many lies or lives it takes. Of course, Beck doesn't own any license to shoot down Al Gore. The deep ecologists like Derek Jensen are starting to attack Gore as an establishment figure who doesn't go far enough.
I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago about Al Gore's movie, and he hadn't thought about global warming at all until he saw the movie. And I agree that his movie can form a fine introduction to people who haven't thought about it at all. I don't have a problem with the movie on that level. I do have a problem if it presents itself as being anything more than the barest, briefest, tiniest introduction. If it presents itself as having solutions, I have big problems with it. For one thing, if everybody in the United States did everything that Al Gore said in that suggested in that movie, then that would reduce emissions by about 21%. And the consensus these days is that for further disaster to be averted, emissions need to be reduced by 80%. Of course, he doesn't even talk about reducing GNP. And with the economy continuing to grow, then that 21% would disappear almost immediately. Another thing Al Gore doesn't talk about is corporate power. It's all about what individual people can do. It has nothing to do with the fact that ExxonMobil all by itself accounts for 5% of all carbon emissions. It doesn't talk about the fact that the U.S. military uses 50% of the oil used in the United States. And those are really important things for him to somehow forget.
And that wraps up another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. If you want to hear Derek Jensen's Vancouver presentation, go to our website and subscribe to our Raw Data podcast to download it on MP3.
That was from another Vancouver indie media man, the talented Franklin Lopez from submedia.tv. Grab their podcast, The End of Life as We Know It, as more than 10,000 iPodders do, but expect the F word. If the planet is heading for hell, should we be polite? Submedia.tv. There are plenty of right-wingers and National Enquirers hoping to get a shot at Al. They paw through his personal life, his garbage for electric bills, and count up his calories. The Republican Party wants to make sure the popularly elected Gore doesn't get another chance at the polls. Every no-name journalist smells 15 seconds of fame if they can shoot this messenger. When Tweedledum Glenn Beck plays the climate ignoramus, the fossil fuel lobby likes to play along, too. Most of the guests on Beck's recent global warming denial special have received fossil fuel industry money, including Canada's contribution, the aging one-time scientist Dr. Tim Ball. This climate expert hasn't published a peer-reviewed paper, the sign of real research, in the last 20 years, that is, during the time that all major climate change science has fully developed. Mr. Beck prefers the coal lobby. Here's a clip from his show with his church buddy, David Neeleman, the CEO of JetBlue Airlines.
I burn about 400 million gallons of gas this year and 500 million gallons next year, so every time it goes 10 cents, it costs me $40 or $50 million.
And but, let me tell you something, and Al Gore weeps.
Yes.
Well, he was the CEO until he was dumped a few weeks ago. Beck makes a forum for Neeleman to talk up a plan to use coal power for American transportation.
What would you say if I told you we could have gasoline at a dollar per gallon? What would you say to me if I told you that we could be energy independent, we could be away from these dirt bags? Away from these dirt bags in the Middle East. Not giving them a dime to buy any guns or anything else. We could be oil independent within 10 years. That our army, our air force, our navy could be independent, and we could fuel them within 2 years. So how do we do it? I've been saying for a while, we've got to be energy independent. Where are the Rockefellers? Well, I'm sitting in church. This is, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. I go to church with David Neeleman. He is from JetBlue. He's the CEO of JetBlue. One of the smartest guys I know. I mean, I honestly talk to David once in a while, and he'll go into something, and I'll be thinking to myself, I don't even understand what he's even talking about anymore. I'll just stand here and pretend like I know what I'm, you know. I'll just listen to the, uh-huh, yeah, right, David. And then maybe he won't know I'm just a big fat dummy. You say, and this is something that we had the governor of Wyoming or Montana. About a year ago, and I mean this is ancient technology. I believe Hitler came up with the coal to oil thing. It's not profitable until $35 a barrel. You saw the same thing and say we can build it. And do you have a company that will actually build these plants with help?
Oh, absolutely. We have lots of companies. You know, the company that's just here in our backyard in Connecticut, GE, owns the technology. They would, you know, build the plants, no problem. But, you know, GE is a company. They're very smart. They understand. So when I went to GE, I said, look, why don't you build one of these plants? We'll buy all the fuel from it. You know, I'll get a significant lower price than what I have today. They said, well, what happens if the price of oil goes to $25 a barrel?
Okay, so who wants to build, what the bill is trying to do, as I understand it, is who wants to build a $5 billion plant, and how many would it take for us to be energy independent?
It would take probably, Well, it would take over 100 plants to do that, but that's not a lot of plants. I mean, each plant would generate about 80,000 to 100,000 barrels a day. And this is finished product. This isn't, oh, okay, now we have oil, we have to take it down to a refinery in a place that's susceptible to hurricanes. This is, you actually take the coal and you refine the coal to the liquid that you can stick right in the airplane or right in the train or in the truck.
Okay, but now we're talking about $500 billion.
Right. You know, just from these 70 plants that we would build that would eliminate about half of our imported oil, if we wanted to do it all, we could build more than that. Now we have millions and millions of jobs. We have, you know, more planes being purchased by guys like us. You have more rent-a-cars, more hotels, people, you know, eating in restaurants, people traveling, people being able, you know, their heating oil bills are down, their, you know, everything that they do. And so there's this other injection. Well, we've done some, you know, back-of-the-envelope stuff with some macroeconomists. They think if the government, the best thing that the government would ever do is write out the $20 billion check, because it would be a $1 trillion economic benefit from having $18 oil versus the $74 oil that we have today. That, you know, why wouldn't we do this? Why we have basically the largest coal reserve of any country on the, in the world. We have more BTUs in coal than all the OPEC countries combined. And we can do it for ourselves. We don't need to rely on these people. The government just needs to sign their name on a little piece of paper. If they ever pay up, boom. It's the best thing that ever happened to this economy. If they don't pay up, at least we're self-sufficient. We go to war. We actually have stuff to put in our airplanes and our tanks.
Right.
And our national security is you know, we're basically taken care of on our national security.
Okay. David Neeleman from JetBlue, CEO. If you can hang on for just a second, I've got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. First, let me tell you about my dog, Victor, and Purina One. I saw a huge difference in my dog, Victor, when I started feeding him Purina One. I saw a difference in his coat, in his eyes, in the clearness. I saw a big difference. I mean, I hate to, you know, bring this up, but my dog, I mean, he could kill you with his breath. Saw a difference with his breath, even.
Hey, we can all make our own gasoline and cheap jet fuel from 70 new coal-burning plants and screw the Arabs at the same time. Now, what could be wrong with that?
Shit! The whole polar ice cap's melting!
Great news for the coal industry, should they want to slip him some extra cash, and no worries about climate change, because Beck tells us either it doesn't exist, or if it does, there's no point in trying to stop global warming.
Glenn, is global warming real? It may be, right?
You know, here's where my personal stance on global warming. It's clear that the globe is warming. It's up 0.7 degrees Celsius in the last 100 years. However, we've gone from global warming to global cooling to global warming. It seems to be a 30-year trend. Maybe this is, you know, maybe we're going to go into an extreme warming period or an extreme cooling period. That is what happens. The real question is, are we causing it, and can we stop it? The Kyoto Treaty, we are going to spend billions and billions of dollars, and we're not going to stop global warming. They say if it's fully implemented and everything, every piece of science is accurate, it will delay global warming another 3 years in the next 100 years. That
Wow.
doesn't seem like a smart investment.
Right.
That's great logic, if only it were just a little bit true. Never mind the recent Bangkok report of the IPCC, the thousands of top world scientists, that the worst of climate change can be averted using current technology within a reasonable world budget. Where does Glenn Beck get his fabulous, only delay it 3 years, hard scientific data out of his... And who pays the Time Warner Corporation to air Glenn Beck's dangerous diatribes? Your friendly pet food maker, Ralston Purina.
This half hour of the Glenn Beck program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption by Purina One.
Hey, Rover. There are going to be a lot more really hot dogs in the world. Many of the species you were born to hunt are already going extinct. Humans are wrecking the planet, and your dog food bowl is contributing. How about ditching Purina One and going with a different planet-friendly brand, huh, fella? This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Download a lot more green radio at www.ecoshock.org.
There are so many similarities to the Dark Ages and the Church. I swear to you. First of all, Al Gore is the high priest. You cannot question him. You cannot question the facts.
I
think you could put Al Gore into a priest collar.
This is just much more of a one-man stage show, comedy tour.
Turn down the heat!
Not true.
You know, there's a part in my life when I was doing pot and Quaaludes and Coke, and now it's Lipitor and Ambien, Propecia. When I was really drinking, sobered up,
my recovery.
You know, I'm an alcoholic. I wasted all those blackouts.
You know, Al Gore's not going to be rounding up Jews and exterminating them. It is the same tactic, however.
The power of CNN, the most trusted name in news.
Okay, now I get it. I understand what's going on. It was the very first bullshit channel. They're the first ones that made TV illegitimate and unbelievable. Think about that. You know? Congratulations, CNN. You've made the internet famous because TV is like shit now. Everybody's trying to be like CNN because they're just garbage. That's all I have to say. That's it. And on to the next thing I gotta say.